It's time for Medical Monday, brought to you in the interest of your health by Our Lady of the Lake Regional Medical Center.
Yes, it is time for Medical Monday, and we're talking robotic surgery this week, welcoming Daryl Marks aboard. Dr. Marks, a general surgeon specializing in general, bariatric, and robotic surgery over at Our Lady of the Lakes Physician Group and the Lakes Robotics Institute as well. Good morning, Doc. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Glad to have you on here. I'm always so intrigued and whenever we get the chance to talk a little bit about robotics, robotic surgery, because it feels like there's advances from the end of the last conversation to the beginning of the next one. So let's talk a little bit about the history and those advancements, if you could, please. A little bit on the history of robotic surgery, specifically over the lake.
So I'm relatively new to the lake surgical group, but have been involved with robotics myself since 2011. The original robotic surgery performed here at the lake dates back to about 2008 on a very rudimentary machine, and it really just didn't have staying power at that time. It wasn't until the next generation of machines that came out that it became evident that it was a good technology to apply towards the field of general surgery. Up to that point, it was primarily utilized for gynecology and urology. And the main reason for that was because it was very targeted anatomy, and general surgery needs access to multi-quadrants within the abdomen. So the newer machines, as they came out, especially the XI, which launched in about 2014, really began to revolutionize robotic surgery as it pertains to general surgery as a subspecialty. But at the lake, we have the most extensive experience with robotics, challenging some of the most numbers in the country as combined procedures between all of us. I mean, I bring over 4,000 procedure experience to the group, and others have that experience as well. So as a group, the most experienced group probably in the country when it comes to robotic general surgery.
Wait. We could do the math on this one here. You've been doing robotic surgery since 2008. It's 2023.
So I started in 2011.
Okay.
One of the partners here started with a few procedures in 2008 and then aborted and then revisited it again as the newer machines came out. And I'm not really exactly sure what year they began. I was in another area at that time.
And did you say you've done about 4,000?
I've done right at 4,200 procedures myself, correct.
I mean, that's, if my math is right, that's darn near close to one a day.
It's a lot of procedures, right? Absolutely. And you know, for me, when I saw the robotic procedure as a standalone way to perform surgery, especially since I was already a laparoscopic fellowship-trained laparoscopic surgeon, the robotics and the wristed instruments, the 3D magnification, the ability to control my camera, the ability to sit down and not tie myself into a knot at the bedside, staring at TV screens, sometimes over my shoulder while I'm working in multiple quadrants, became very appealing to me. So I jumped on right away and took a what they call an all-in approach.
So immediately, no kidding.
I did it. But yeah, and you know, back in that time, early on in the early 2000s, or I guess mid 2000s, there weren't a lot of people in general surgery performing robotics procedures. So it really did attract a lot of work my direction as well. So. Mm-hmm. With that came volume. With volume came experience. With experience became perfection, and picked up more and more procedures. And now it's not really a choice for me. It's how I operate. It's my preferred method. And then you get all the wonderful things like, that's amazing. I can't believe you did my surgery through 4 poke holes or 3 poke holes. Or you see a patient who's had a colon resection or a major abdominal surgery going home the next day instead of spending 4 to 5, sometimes a week in the hospital. Yeah. And then picking up operations like newer abdominal wall reconstruction that we can do for patients with bad hernias and things that we could never do before, as well as tackling more complicated surgical problems like revisional weight reduction surgery or esophagectomy for cancer, or it just, the list goes on and on and on and on and on. And the better, the more we do and the more experience we have with the technology, the better we get. And we're still on the upper part of the technology curve. I mean, we're still climbing. I mean, there's a new machine that we're looking at as well, which all of these things are accomplished instead of through four incisions. We can do it through one. It's the Da Vinci SP system, which we'll be demoing here at the Lake in the middle of the month, or I'm sorry, the middle of next month. And so we're looking at adding that machine to our armamentarium. Not to mention, we've got a total of six robots. We just got two more in the hospital to make it the biggest program in the state. So, I mean, lots of amazing things happening in the field of robotics.
Very cool stuff. We're talking with Dr. Daryl Marks from Our Lady of the Lake, talking a little bit about robotic surgery. Okay, so my next question was going to be about the range that robotic surgery could cover, but you touched on a lot of that. So let me ask it in this regard. When you said we've only scratched the surface here, what can't be operated on via robotic surgery right now?
So really, one of the limitations with robotic surgery to some degree is skin and soft tissue. You know, so you're not going to do simple mass excisions or skin cancers with the robot. Certainly some major trauma procedures are not. We are moving into more acute care surgery with the robot. But if you're an unstable patient who's had been stabbed or shot or something like that, that although the robot was originally designed by the military for sort of MASH hospital operations to keep the physicians off the battlefield, it really is not a good application of that technology. Outside of that, the line gets real blurry. I mean, it really then depends on the physician's experience and some patient parameters that are sometimes unknowable. But for the most part, it's all on the table. There's really not anything that I do that is not robotic. Now, some of the carve-outs that have kind of come and gone were operations like robotic thyroid surgery. So that was looked at for a while, and there are still people who are doing that, but it's not become really mainstream. The interesting thing that's happening that's hitting mainstream, or we're looking at moving in that direction over the next 3 to 5 years, is surgical treatment of breast cancer robotically, which is a new and exciting area where we can do breast cancer surgery with the single incision SP in a very cosmetically appealing fashion and get amazing oncologic results. Those studies are in progress right now, but it's around the corner. So, you know, the latitude for which we can work with the robot is expanding, like as we're talking. Like you said, every time you interview somebody, there's new stuff that's happening. And that's the great thing about robotic surgery is the technology that we have is going to push us as physicians and surgeons forward. It's going to drag us with it. The other thing that's really amazing about robotics compared to, say, laparoscopic or other minimally invasive surgery platforms is the robotic operation is more like open surgery through some small poke holes rather than a really complicated technical feat like laparoscopy is. So it's like having your hand in the past and the hand in the future at the same time. So it's a very comfortable approach, especially for learning physicians and people who are just getting involved with robotics. We just instituted with our new machines, we've got dual consoles. So that means that two surgeons can work on one robot at the same time, either as an instructor apprentice, or I have two arms and somebody else has two arms. Like I can work with a surgical gynecologist, oncologist at the same time while we're doing a hysterectomy and a colon resection. Real time, together, sitting at two consoles in the same operating room. I mean, it's pinch yourself when you get done kind of stuff. You're just like, I cannot really believe that this is what we're doing. Because I'm 53. I mean, I came from primarily open surgery and rapidly transitioned. So this is, even though I'm not old, this has moved through. I mean, we didn't really have cell phones when I was in training. And now, you know, now look at this.
We're talking with Dr. Daryl Marks from Our Lady of the Lake. We're talking robotic surgery. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about Our Lady of the Lake, because the lake has been really out in front and the lead is growing. What goes into that? I would assume, I mean, based off of your previous answers, technology and repetitions would be your top two. But what is it about, what do y'all do with the lake that sets you apart from other programs?
Well, so many different things. But the first thing you have to have a successful robotic program, and this is just dollars and cents, is you have to have a hospital administration that is in line or thinks parallel with the surgeons that are trying to accomplish these tasks. So it's not cheap to bring this in. So that's the first thing, is you have to have an administration that's open-minded and willing to invest in their patients, in the technology, and in the future of medicine. So after you get past that, then you have to either A, recruit, or B, allow your surgeons to get trained, which has a dollar value as well. Then after that, you have to give the operating room team time to train and to learn and to get comfortable. And you have to have a surgeon pool that is gentle with the OR team, because we're all on the clock. You know, time is very important. Mm-hmm. You just can't, like an automobile repair, you're like, oh, we'll order a part and we'll get back later. No, once the patient's asleep, we're on the clock and things have to be done in a timely fashion. So you have to have a cooperated OR staff and leadership in that position, as well as lots of comradeship within the surgeons, because you need to lean into everybody else. Hey, how did you do that? Were you good? And then lastly, the dual consoles, so that you can mentor other surgeons as they come in and train younger surgeons, which the lake is dedicated to do as part of training LSU residents here. We have that ability to bring the young and get them involved early, just like kids with computers and cell phones now. They can fly through them because they've had them in their hands since they were kids. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to be able to get, because of the commitment of the lake in bringing these machines and dual consoles in, as well as a new technology called the Hub, which is a way we can connect robots with other robots in other cities or states, so that we can all interact as a community to learn together moving forward. So that's what we do here. I mean, that's how it works. And then we deliver to the patient. So it's a self-fulfilling prophecy when you're able to have linear commitment from the physicians, the OR staff, and the administration, and then intuitive getting the stuff here to us in a timely fashion. So it's a complicated network, but yeah. You know, it's like making a pencil. I mean, a pencil is nothing but wood and lead. But when you think about what has to go in to get the wood out of out of the woods, cut, shaved down, the lead has to be. I mean, there's a huge community of experts that go into that. That's the same with robotic surgery.
I mean, we could spark four different conversations, four completely different segments all off of this. I mean, from the technology, you mentioned the Hub, not to dumb it down, but the Hub sounds like how every instant replay in the Southeastern Conference kicks back to Birmingham. That's what that one kind of sounds like right there. You talk about the generation moving into it. It's like I look at my kids. My kids, Facebook has been around their entire lives. It's the same thing for robotic surgery for the new generation coming in. I mean, Doc, you have sparked so many different conversations. We've got to get you back on for another segment.
Absolutely. I'd love it.
Yeah. It's in the works right now, but we're just out of time for today.
Okay.
Dr. Daryl Marks, a general surgeon specializing in general bariatric and robotic surgery over at Our Lady of the Lake. Fascinating segment, man. Thank you so much.
Yeah. You're welcome. My pleasure. Anytime.